The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
I signed with the Rad Squad in 2011, that summer. You signed at the back of a smoke pack. Roddy, I would say, is like the Irish heavyweight.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetSetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetSetGo.ie.
Off the ball. This is News Talk.
And a very good evening to you. Welcome along to Friday Night's Off the Ball. It's Ger Gilroy here with you all the way through until 9 o'clock tonight. But between 9 and 10, make sure you stay tuned because Enda is going to be along with his Team 33 comrades Kieran and Colm to answer that question that Gareth Southgate has so far been stumped by. How do you include all of their best players in the team and make it work? We're not jealous, you're jealous. 53106, the text number, if you want to get in touch with us this evening. And we've got a very, very busy programme for you. Hurling coming up with Jamesy O'Connor. And then, of course, between 8 and 9, as it is every Friday night, it is Friday Night Racing. Our guest tonight is Patrick Harty, who, alongside his dad, created history last week by becoming Ireland's first joint trainers. They broke new ground at Punchestown on Sunday when they entered the record books as Ireland's first joint training partnership. So that's coming up with Johnny Ward after 8 o'clock this evening. But we are starting with the dawn of a new era. Toy Story 2 was the headline on the back of one of the tabloids today, linking Buzz Lightyear and Troy Parrott. Troy Story 2. Get it? Get it, Nathan? Do you get it?
It's a bit of a stretch, Jer. I think it's fair to say.
Hey, those headline writers.
Inspirational of evenings for anybody, clearly.
They didn't have a lot to work with, it's true. However, I will I heard a good bit of the show last night, and yourself and Stewie were struggling, it's fair to say, with any sense of what might be coming next, because, you know, there wasn't a lot of evidence for us to be hopeful about the future. However, I'm going to go a few however's here, right? A lot of amateur statisticians on Twitter and social media pointing out the fact that many teams go and play against Andorra and they play two games against them, and not all of them have scored four against them. The good teams that we had throughout the years have struggled to score four against Andorra back, you know, two decades ago. And you'd have to assume that Andorran football has not been mismanaged the way Irish football has, and that it's a little bit better than it was two decades ago. So, you know, I mean, I know everyone's like, they scored four goals, but they were rubbish anyway at that stage. I'm like, yeah, well, they, you know, that's the job is the job. I thought that there were a few things that were reasonable about last night's performance that would give you some hope that things might not be all Luxembourg from here on out. I thought Knight was good, particularly in the second half. I thought Troy Parrott, obviously, showed before the goals, created a brilliant chance that Curtis should have scored from after his goal. You know, so it's not just like a greedy teenager trying to fill himself with the buffet tray. There were some signs from Dara O'Shea that he's growing into that role. And actually, of the two centre backs, you'd say Dara O'Shea is probably more locked into a starting role than John Egan at this point. And we've got a strength and depth in the goalkeeper position. That's not bad from a meaningless end of season friendly.
Yeah, and you're right about Andorra. They're well organised. They have a small pool of players, so actually they don't have much rotation. The same team plays all the time, more or less. And the pattern of their results, regardless of what's happened in Ireland over the last couple of decades, in recent years, is they keep it tight for an hour and then they fade. And that's exactly what happened last night. In normal times, this is a meaningless end of season friendly. You get the job done. But I think the shadow of what happened against Luxembourg is a long one and is going to take a long period of time for people to recover from, to fully trust this team and to fully trust the plan that Stephen Kenny is putting in place to help Ireland progress. There were positive signs last night, and you hope that Troy Parrott, that is a moment we look back on in years to come that kickstarts his career. The worry with Troy Parrott is that it's completely out of Stephen Kenny's hands what happens for Troy Parrott next. He'll go back to Tottenham. Maybe he gets lucky and Antonio Conte sees him in the first training session at Spurs and says, I like this guy. Harry Kane has just left. I'm going to give him some game time. I want him to be around that elite environment. Or maybe he goes out on loan again and it's a repeat of last year where there's injuries, there's a struggle. So we can't stake everything on Troy Parrott. I think what we need to do is stake everything on a game plan that we know is going to work. And there were definitely signs last night, which we touched on with Stewie. it just feels there's a massive lack of confidence, because so much of what Andorra did last night should have played into Ireland's hands, and that progressive style of football. They're playing it out from the back. When Andorra press forward, that's a perfect opportunity. You just pass it through them and suddenly you create opportunities. But Ireland were so nervous in possession. There was constant hesitancy, even from the experienced players, which to me suggests that it is a confidence and a nervousness and a scarring that is there from the criticism, which has been intense. And these players do feel it. Like, let's not kid ourselves here about what it means for these players to pull on that Ireland jersey. I know they play big Premier League matches. For most of these players, this is as big as it gets when they're playing for Ireland. And there is an extra layer of pressure and scrutiny that they just don't face at club level. So,
no, and most of them aren't playing big Premier League games anymore. Most of them are playing Championship and League One games or in the Belgian League. So the specific issues around the midfield was essentially where Stewie landed last night. And I think that's the point you're making as well, that we didn't have the confidence in the middle of midfield to take the ball from whoever Bazunu passed it to and get turned. Instead, there was a lot of pressure when we were trying to pass it out, and we couldn't deal with their press. Like, there are a couple of fairly obvious fixes to that. The middle of midfield needs to change at the moment. Or do you give Josh Cullen another go and say, look, don't worry, we trust that you're going to get better at this because we've seen you be able to do it in the league. So calm down, don't stress. We had the win under our belts. Let's go. What do you do?
Well, who is that guy? And that is the question when you look at the major areas of concern last night. If it's not Josh Cullen, who is it? Who are you turning to? So you've tried Josh Cullen. You've been impressed at what he's doing at the club level, but it's not really happening from an international level. Maybe it is just an experience thing. Maybe he needs another year. Maybe he needs another 12, 15 caps. But are you returning to James McCarthy in the hope that somehow he can stay fit? Are you deciding maybe now is the time to give Jack Byrne a chance and hope that he's fully fit and he gets 18 months in that role? I think when you look through the 11, it's not as if there's a great white hope out there that suddenly fixes this. There is no Wes Houlihan, Andy Reid type figure that's been left out in the cold that we all wish to come back in. This is what Ireland have. And I think Cullen is a question mark about him. I look at James Collins and think, is he an international class striker?
No.
He's probably not.
No.
But who else are you playing up there?
Can you push Troy Parrott up to be a number nine, and or is Adam Ida that player? And like, Collins has had his go. He's going to be the sub that comes on when Ida gets tired or injured, and he's going to be around the squad. That's fine. I think these games are about making sure that when the Portugal game comes and all the rest of the games in this qualifying campaign come, that you have a fair idea of who the best players in these positions are. And Collins has had his chance, and he's missed chances, big chances in games where you need somebody who gets those chances and scores those goals.
You just hope we have that player. Like, I can understand going with a bit of experience, and Adam Ida hasn't been playing a huge amount of football this season because of injury. And it's a real shame that we haven't seen a consistent run for Callum Robinson and Aaron Connolly, because they are the two players who I think have that bit of X factor right now, that are playing somewhat regularly in the Premier League, despite a stop-start season for both of them. But at least we know they have that quality. We've seen what Callum Robinson could do to Chelsea.
Hmm.
But is in and out of the squad through injury, through COVID. You would love a run where actually they can form a bit of a partnership. But I just don't think there's any clear and obvious answers in terms of who steps into those midfield positions. And listen, there was a lot of players missing. Randolph's not there. Coleman comes back in. Even the bit of strength and depth of Brady, Hendrick, O'Dowda, Byrne, Robinson and Connolly adds to a squad, and they got the job done. They got the win, and we don't know internally, and that's one of the things we've been away. We haven't actually been in an Ireland camp since Stephen Kenny took charge, so nobody's been around. Nobody's got a sense of what the players think as to how they really are responding to this managerial setup. You would hope that they take a bit of confidence from this to the game against Hungary. Portugal, in a way, feels like the worst possible game you could be facing in September, because the sticker twist in that we want to see a sign that Ireland can hold on to possession, but also
I know
if they are as open as they've been against far inferior opposition, you could take a hell of a beating, and then we're back in full-scale crisis mode once again. We're talking about a Portuguese side who could well be going into that game as two-time European champions with Ronaldo, Jota, Fernandes. But there is a transition period happening, and there's no quick way out of this. Stephen Kenny doesn't have the alternatives. That is where I understand there's a huge amount of criticism coming and question marks about whether he was the right man for the job, and Luxembourg is a new low. We don't know what's going to happen. We hope that Luxembourg was a low, and that actually over the coming years we're going to bounce back. We hope that in 3-4 years' time that we're not in a situation where more players haven't come through, and actually that Luxembourg result is a more routine thing for the Republic of Ireland. But Kenny has no choice but to stick with these players to keep doing what he's trying to do, well, and hope at club level they start getting a run, so they're coming in a bit of form.
Yeah, so let's specifically talk, when you're saying that there's no Wes Hoolihan or Andy Reid there, you're talking about a number eight, but what we're really saying is that we don't have a six in the team at the moment.
I think we probably struggle for a bit of both. Maybe Parrott is that number 10, and maybe he makes that position his own. Number six should just be a rock solid player who's the one who's taken it off the centre back. But James McCarthy was the one. He has been the one for the last 5 years, but he barely played an international match over the last 5 years.
Okay, so let's take McCarthy off the table.
On.
Yeah, let's take it, and it's a bonus if he gets there, and who knows where he's going to be next season, but it's a bonus if he's fit and he's available for selection. So this week against Hungary, who would you like to see in those midfield roles?
I think you have to stick with Cullen. I don't see another player like him who is that controlled in possession. He's tried. You could play Conor Howarthin there as the number six, but I think Howarthin has said himself and has shown this season that actually as a number eight at Swansea with a bit of freedom, he's far more effective. You can go back to Malumbi, who doesn't maybe have the technical ability of a Cullen. So it did feel last night, it's not all individually on Josh Cullen, on Conor Howarthin. I felt Howarthin played well, and then actually I watched back Damien Delaney's analysis and you realise maybe, you know, he needs to take more risks. He needs to bring the ball on the way he does when he's playing with Swansea. Is that a nervousness, that fear of getting caught out, of making a mistake, that you're doing things at club level that you're not doing at international level? So I don't see any radical changes. I think he has to stick with this midfield of Cullen, Howarthin, and whoever the other one is, whether it's Malumbi or Knight, and just hope that he can get them to gel and play with a bit more confidence. It is defence playing a bit further up the pitch, but a bit more compact. Troy Parrott been able to drop deep from number 10, get involved as well. That there's not these massive, massive gaps between the defence and the attack. But I don't think there is a silver bullet. Like, you know, you can rotate three or four different players in there. I don't think any of them are going to make a massive transformation for the way Ireland play. It is I won't say entire systems failure, but you need your centre halves to trust Josh Cullen, to give him the ball in the right places, give it to him quickly. You need your senior players, and that was a frustration yesterday again. Like, you need Matt Doherty as a senior player when he's in positions to attack or to release players, to do it quickly, to give them the best opportunity, rather than him being a bit hesitant. And if you're a young guy and you're looking at thinking, geez, this guy's a bit nervous, how does that reflect on the rest of the team?
Well, the youngsters weren't in any way shy or backward about getting on the ball, or like, you know, again, they're very early on in their careers, but I thought it was positive that some of them were showing. And I thought as well, Daryl Horgan made an impact off the bench, and if that's his role for the next four or five seasons or three seasons, probably that would be good, where he is an impact sub who comes on, beats some players and puts some crosses in, then at least you know what you've got with him. And like,
that's what it'll be as well. Like, and Daryl Horgan has been
good at that.
He's probably been definitely in the top three players of the Kenny era. He is one of the few who has really emerged, I think, with his reputation enhanced because of that. As you say, he's taken his chances. When he's come on, he's done exactly what you want a substitute to do, which is add some energy, add a different kind of threat.
Yeah.
Maybe hasn't had the same impact when he started games, but listen, it is a good option to have off the bench, and he has a real good enthusiasm that he brings to it. So,
can I ask about Doherty? Can he play right? Can he play left back rather? Because James McLean at left back probably isn't the future. Is it possible that Doherty can play left back, and that we can actually have Coleman at right back, and then you do have experienced Premier League players on either side of the flank?
I think you can, but he'll look at Enda Stevens and say Enda Stevens is probably more used to playing in that position. I don't think there's any question now that Coleman is the first choice right back. So do you fit Doherty in on the right hand side and move Jason Knight into a more central position? I still think Doherty at his best. It's a long time since we've seen it. It's probably gone back 15 months now since we've seen Doherty at his absolute peak, and rarely seen it in an Ireland jersey. I'd still like to see him in the team because of the quality we know he possesses. But if Stevens is fit, Stevens will play for the next couple of years at left back.
Okay, well, and I suppose, again, it's about having strength and depth. Stevens isn't always available. Doherty's not always available. So if it would be good if our sub left back was Doherty, and maybe the game against Hungary is an opportunity for that. The last I had heard, you might have more up-to-date information than this, was that Coleman, who's obviously on the trip, wasn't fit to make this game but should be fit for the Hungary game. That would be significant in terms of leadership and all that kind of stuff. Like, if you have that back four essentially the same, except you've got Doherty and Coleman, and it's with Doherty left back and Coleman at right back, that'd be interesting to see. And then any other changes you make that you kind of think, okay, this is going to give us the best chance of another win?
I think you bring Adamida in to start ahead of James Collins and give him that run, stick with Troy Parrott in that number 10 role. Jason Knight did really well, particularly in that second half on the right-hand side, so I think he stays there as well. Ronan Curtis is another one where you would question whether he's at that level of quality that you need. So perhaps he makes a change there, and maybe Jamie McGrath gets an opportunity from the start. We don't know what sort of physical state the players are in. I think it's telling that Coleman is there despite not being fully fit, that he is pulling everybody together, that there's been little or no talk out of the camp of disharmony despite everything that has gone on. I think because those senior players, Coleman, McLean in particular, are not the type to turn on their manager, I think that's been a big and important boost for Stephen Kenny, that they can keep these younger players in check, that any of the little bits of anger, because listen, when things aren't going well, players will always turn on their manager. I think Coleman has a huge role in that squad in keeping it on some sort of a straight and narrow path, that the, you know, the pressure doesn't seem to be coming internally from the players towards Stephen Kenny. And if he's fit, I'm sure he'll play. But the fact he's there, even at the end of a long, hard season at his age, says a lot about what he believes his role as Irish captain to be. So we don't know what fitness levels are end of season. Maybe you need to make two or three more changes. Players have come, maybe put Ryan Manning in at left back and give him another go. And somebody like Ryan Manning, who, you know, didn't play particularly well in the chances he's been given so far, he's still only 24. And Irish football has its history over the last decade are guys who get to 26, 27,
29.
Somehow find another gear, exactly, and then actually go on to have a really good 3-4 year international career. And that's what we need. It's hard to read a huge amount into last night, except they got the win, they got the result, and we had a player in Troy Parrott who at 19 was willing to put his head up, to grab the game by the scruff of the neck and say, in absolute panic, like, can you imagine what is going through those players' heads in that 6-7 minute period when you're 1-0 down against Andorra, you're 11 games without a win, you've been beaten by Luxembourg in your last home game, absolute panic knowing what's coming their way. And for Parrott to step up and say, actually, I'm going to do something here, I'm going to try
it's
something.
It's a good sign.
It's a really good sign. And I think we all just hope now that he gets that chance at club level, that we can see more and more of that.
Yeah, I also liked Darrow Shea and Bazunu as well. I thought there was like look, it's Andorra, it's the end of the season, it's largely irrelevant, but there was a lot on the line for them, and so there was a lot of pressure. Johnny from Drogheda says, you have to stick with Josh Cullen. He's 25 years old and has 7 caps. If we drop him now, 2 years down the line, he'll be in his peak years and will have less than 20 international appearances.
These are very inexperienced players at this level. And suddenly you're playing in the middle of midfield for the Republic of Ireland. You're expected to shoulder a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
It's not
Troy Keane's jersey
for Anderlecht and being in there sometimes and starting some games and, you know, having an inspirational manager. This is as big as it gets. And suddenly we're expecting them with little or no experience. And you talk to Kilbane former players and they will tell you it takes a dozen games, if not more, to get used to the pace, to the pressure of playing for Ireland. They're doing it during COVID time. So I think we have to stick with Cullen. It'd be brilliant if James McCarthy emerged and had some late flourish to his career and was desperate to come back and play for Ireland and be the player we all dreamt he would be. It seems a long shot. Cullen in the second half, when it opened up, Cullen was suddenly flicking 30, 40 yard passes out to the fullbacks.
Yeah, so look, maybe
we need
to
be in a position where they can do that actually in the first half an hour of a game and set a tempo and an agenda and show Andorra, actually, you're the minnows here.
Could Harry Arthur at this stage of his career become a six?
I don't know if Harry Arthur has that passing ability that Cullen has. Like, the reason for having Cullen there is that he takes it off the centre backs. He can turn quickly and he can whip it out to the right hand side or the left hand side. Arthur is your more probably traditional number six who will get stuck in. Like, I think Jason Malumbi can do that as well. Can cover every blade of grass, can provide a bit of energy. And, you know, maybe at the moment they need that balance of a Cullen, an Arthur as a double number six. And then you play Conor Harahan in front of them. As a 8/10, and then you pick Joey Parrott, your number 9.
Yeah, And sorry, is Parrott not a number nine? This is news to me that he's actually a creative.
Well, no, he played in this position for the 21s, and he played, I think, out on the left hand side a couple of times for the 21s.
Was that not just because he was
do a little bit
a kid though, like that, like?
Well, it was, Adam Ida was there as well, so right. Ida is the one that they would see as the number nine. He's still really in the infancy of his career. Remember, he went to Spurs. You can go to Spurs when he was 14, 15. He was only there a year or so by the time he was getting talked about and raved about and in with the 21s. So he hasn't played massive amount of football. But we all want a number nine. But maybe, I think, because of Adam Ida's emergence, there's not the necessity for Parrott to play as an out-and-out striker and right. has the creativity. And listen, you want him doing what he did the last night, that ability to drop deep and suddenly cause a bit of carnage.
Nathan, good stuff. Thanks very much for that. We will have Jamesy O'Connor previewing the entire hurling championship. We're going to run through all the contenders and talk about the tiers in just a moment.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetSetGo.ie.